We stand in all of you, Lord. We stand in all of you. You are so awesome. Jesus, you are so worthy. Father God, we love you. Holy Spirit, oh, thank you for coming. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for leading us, guiding us, and being such a major part of our life. We could never live this life, Christian life, without you, Holy Spirit. Fill us. We need to be filled afresh every day. We depend upon you for everything that we do. The lives we live, the ministries that you give us, can only be done if we're filled with you, Holy Spirit. So we acknowledge you. We totally respect you. And we just say we completely depend on you, Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for pouring out the promise of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for letting Jesus pour out the Holy Spirit on all those, all your children who come to you. And we thank you that nothing will ever be able to separate us. No weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. What can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Life, death, angels, demons, nothing, absolutely nothing. No weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. No one or nothing can take us out of his hand. Amen? He loves us so much. So we thank you, Lord. We're going to continue on with the book of Acts. We want to just continue to look at the incredible example of how the church was born and grew and just continued to grow, and how God used all his people that were filled with the Holy Spirit to just do incredible signs and wonders, but most of all, to preach the gospel, to continue the good news, declaring the good news about his son, Jesus Christ. The main theme, the main focus of Acts, yes, there were signs, wonders, there was miracles, but only because they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There were people being saved and added to the church constantly because they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were preaching about Jesus, and they were preaching what Jesus told them to preach, which was repentance and remissions of sins in his name in Jerusalem and to all the nations. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We'll be in chapter 6 and 7 today, looking at our brother Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Church continues to grow through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ by ordinary people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I say ordinary because a lot of times we think the apostles were the ones that did everything in the church, in the beginning of the church and the growth of the church. But we're going to see today that when an issue arose about people not being treated fairly in the church, and certain Greek women thought they weren't getting, widows thought they weren't getting the food that they deserved, that was being handed out to everybody in need, when that issue rose up, God had appointed seven people to administer the finances, administer the food, to make sure everybody was being treated right. Doesn't call them deacons when they first do that, when they first appoint them, but we know that they fulfilled the role of the deacons. And we're going to especially just look at Stephen today. I was going to try to do Stephen and Philip, but I thought it was too much. We want to look at Stephen today. So these weren't the apostles. These were just ordinary men that were chosen by the apostles and by the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of people in the church. But we'll see that they did a lot more than just wait tables and serve food to people. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit did incredible signs and wonders and miracles and added lots more people to the church through them, through their preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit working through them. So the power from on high that came as a mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire that fell at Pentecost, which enabled the apostles to be witnesses for Jesus and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, just continues to spread like wildfire and sets the tongues of others on fire. Remember, the whole purpose of the tongues of fire was to represent that he would set our tongues on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he would give us the power from on high to be his witnesses, to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ, to set our tongues on fire. It would happen first in Jerusalem, and then, like I said, he sets the tongues of others on fire as they get saved, born again, and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They also, their tongues are set on fire to preach the gospel and to witness and to serve tables and to meet the needs of people in the church. Many more people get added to the church, and the gospel spreads to Samaria eventually, just as Jesus said. They followed Jesus' plan to the T. Again, that's why the church grew. And the only way I believe any church will grow is if we follow Jesus' blueprint and plan exactly the way that he told us to do it. Amen? So again, the church only grows when Spirit-filled believers follow Jesus' plan to use the power of the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses, so that the resurrection of the dead through Jesus, repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and to obey his command to open our mouths and declare the gospel to every living creature, like he said in Mark, go and preach the gospel to every living creature. And the Great Commission, of course, which is go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When he says preach, and when we see the word preaching in the book of Acts, that Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ to them, we kind of get this idea that only the preacher, what we think of as a preacher, is the one that is supposed to do that. You know, the guy that spends all these times making, studying the word and getting sermons together, and some of them are very boisterous and use a lot of drama to get their message across. But that's not what preaching means. Preaching just simply means to speak and declare the good news to everybody around you. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to go to seminary, you don't have to go to preaching school to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of these guys that we're going to read about did. Okay? So there are giftings in the church that Jesus gave. There are offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But those are all offices to equip others for ministry. Just because you don't think that you will have the office of evangelist does not get you off the hook from being a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what I'm trying to say. All right? Evangelist is an office to train people to witness and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. All of us are called to be his witnesses. All of us receive the Holy Spirit and power from on high for the purpose to be his witnesses. And preach, which just simply means share, speak, declare the good news about Jesus. Just doing what he told them to do in Matthew in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them everything that I taught you. So let's read Acts chapter 6 and see how the Holy Spirit is working great miracles through ordinary people in the church who are filled with the Holy Spirit and are not afraid to open their mouths and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to all those in their sphere of influence. Acts 6, verses 1 through 6. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of what? The key to effective ministry and being a good witness is you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude. So everybody in the church was happy with this plan and this idea to make sure everybody's needs are getting taken care of. And they chose Stephen. The order that they choose them is important. So Stephen was kind of the first. He's kind of the head guy here, head deacon. They chose Stephen. Why? Because he's a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Listen to this. As soon as they appointed these men and laid hands on them, and these men began to do their ministry, look at what happens. This is what it says happens. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Everyone's filled with the Holy Spirit. They're talking about Jesus and speaking the words that Jesus told them to speak. And what's the result? Well, the results speak for themselves. It says that the church continued, as the word of God spread, they're speaking Jesus' words. They're speaking about his death, burial, and resurrection. They're speaking about forgiveness of sins. Repentance of sin, forgiveness of sins is only found in his name. That's what they're preaching. And it says, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And not only that, it says, a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. How about that? Some of those priests that Jesus stood before when they were trying him now are coming to the faith. They're putting their faith in Jesus now. And again, this work isn't happening through the apostles. This is going on through the seven men that they just appointed. Jesus had told the apostles that they were to be witnesses first in Jerusalem. And in a short time, their message had infiltrated the entire city and all levels of society. Even some of the Jewish priests were being converted. Why is this important? Because you know what? Those priests, they all saw all the miracles that Jesus did, but those miracles did not convince them of who Jesus was. What convinced them? What converted them? The preaching of the gospel. The preaching of the word of God. They saw all the miracles, all the healings, all the deliverances, all the things that Jesus did, but those never convinced them. But when these men, these ordinary men that were filled with the Holy Spirit, who were appointed to meet the needs of the church, also got filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God, even the priests started to listen to them and started to come to faith in Jesus Christ. They now were hearing the truth that Jesus told his disciples to share with them. They were putting their faith in Jesus to save them. Remember, the word of God always has a ripple effect. You know what a ripple effect is? You ever been in a lake and you throw a stone into the lake and it makes that little plop, and then you see one little wave of ripple start, another one start, another one start, and it just kind of, it'll go throughout, almost throughout the whole lake and fill the whole lake. That's how the word of God is. From a single center, each wave touches the next, spreading wider and farther. This is the same way that the good news still spreads today. You don't have to change the world single-handedly. It's enough just to be part of the wave, touching those around you in your sphere of influence. As you touch them, boom, they get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. and it, they touch others, and it just continues to grow and grow and grow. That's how the kingdom of God grows. Don't ever feel that your part is insignificant or unimportant. Your little ripple or big ripple, whatever it is very important, whether it's a little one or a big one. When you share the gospel and are faithful to share and be a witness through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will touch lives. They may not receive it immediately, as we'll see with Stephen. They did not receive Stephen's preaching of the gospel and what he had to share very tenderly or lovingly. But he had a powerful effect. His death and his martyr, giving his life for Christ, had a huge effect on Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, who was one of the greatest missionaries ever, who wrote over half of the New Testament through the Holy Spirit. So, looking at it in the natural, you would think, why did the Lord allow that? Well, God's plans are so much bigger than ours. His ways are so much higher than our ways all the time. So let's read about Stephen. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. For some reason, I'll just mention this, they put full of faith there. But they said in the original text, the word was actually grace. So full of grace and power. Because everything, I've shared this with you before, we think that we can kind of work things up by our faith. We can make it happen sometimes. And our faith is important. Our belief plays an important part. But everything that God does, everything the Holy Spirit does, rather it's deliverance, healing, salvations especially, all happens by grace first. It's by grace through faith. Remember, it's always by grace through faith. Right? So it's always the grace of God. And the miracles, the healing, that's why it's so important to think that just one person, that one person only has healing gift. That one person only has this gift. That's not true. Because everything happens by grace. God can use each one of us. God can do healing through each one of us. He can do deliverance through each one of us. He can do salvations through each one of us. Because it all happens when God says, I'm just going to pour out my grace. My lovely daughter here wants to minister to this person, and I see this person's need, and I'm just going to pour out my grace through her faith on this person. And that's how all the operations of the Holy Spirit work, is through the grace of God. Actually, the word charisma, gifts, charis, the very first part of that, guess what grace is in the Greek? Charis. So it's all through the grace of God. That's how the gifts flow, is through grace. By grace, through faith. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, and they were disputing with Stephen. They were, listen to this, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. This is really cool because, again, he wasn't educated. He wasn't educated to speak like this. This was all the Holy Spirit speaking through him. Talk about flowing in the Spirit. This guy's flowing in the Spirit big time. He is flowing in the Spirit big time when he starts. And listen to what Jesus told the apostles. In Matthew 10, verses 19 and 20, this is what he told them. He told them they'd be delivered up. He told them people would persecute them. He told them they'd stand before councils and rulers and judges because of persecution. But this is what he told them. When they deliver you up, don't worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it's not you who speak, listen to this, but it's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Whoa. That's flowing in the Spirit, amen? It's the Spirit of your Father who will speak in you. He also told them in Luke 21, verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Did you hear that? It's exactly what's going on with Stephen. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. That's Luke 21, verse 15. Let's continue reading the story. Verse 11. Then they secretly induced men to say, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, this man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Talk about being in the glory. And in the flow, he was literally, some say might have been glowing, like, you know, when Moses came back from the mountain. He was in the presence of God. He was literally in the presence of God. Why? Because we're filled with the presence of God. We're filled with his presence and with his power. And when he was speaking to them at that moment right there, he was literally filled with the glory of God. They said, this guy, they didn't say this guy's demonic. They didn't say like Jesus, this guy's full of Beelzebub. They said what? This guy has the face of an angel. They saw the glory of God. They saw the power of God on him. I'm not going to go into everything that he preached. So we're going to go down to verse 51. Of Acts chapter 7 now. I'll just share a little bit. I mean, Stephen just immediately took off and started sharing the history of Israel with them. He started all the way from Abraham. He went to share a little bit about Joseph and how they ended up in Egypt. And then how God sent Moses and Moses delivered them from Egypt. And then he goes into sharing about Jesus. But listen what he tells them in verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you know, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. No wonder, right? No wonder they were mad. He's really just pouring out the truth upon them. But he, talking about Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit again, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul, who we know becomes the Apostle Paul. Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus the Messiah standing at God's right hand. Stephen's words are similar to Jesus' words that he spoke before the high council, especially before Caiaphas. Those last words when he said, Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Listen to Jesus' words to Caiaphas the high priest. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So Stephen's quoting to them exactly what Jesus said that they would see. Stephen saw exactly what Jesus told all the priests that they would see. And that really cut them to the heart. I'm sure every one of them remembered that was there when Caiaphas said that. Remember, as soon as Jesus said that, that's when Caiaphas tore his clothes and said, blasphemy, what else do we need to hear? Let's crucify him. You know, that was a major turning point there. Stephen's vision supported Jesus' claim and angered the Jewish leaders who had condemned Jesus to death for blasphemy. They would not tolerate Stephen's words, so they dragged him out and killed him. Remember, words, words, words. The whole thing that the Holy Spirit is trying to emphasize is we have to speak words. We have to share words. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts on our heart, even if it's something as radical as this that Stephen's doing, we have to share those words, even if the people don't want to hear them. All the prophets, the Lord told Jeremiah that, go share my words. They're not going to want to hear them. Even if they don't want to hear them, you still share them. Told Ezekiel the same thing. And Stephen is doing giving us an example of what that looks like right here. They wouldn't tolerate his words. People may not kill us for witnessing for Jesus, right? But they may let you know that they don't want to hear the truth, and they will try to silence you. Remember, ever since the church started, as soon as Peter and John and the apostles started preaching the word, what was Satan's plan? To shut them up, to silence them about preaching the resurrection of the dead and preaching what Jesus told them. If the church is silent about preaching those exact things, the church is not going to grow. If we're not doing what Jesus told us to do, the church isn't going to grow. Amen? Remember, those priests that had John and Peter in jail, they weren't denying the miracles. They said, we can't say that you guys aren't doing miraculous things. Can't take that away because everybody saw it. But don't you dare preach anything else in the name of Jesus. Why? Because they knew that's where the power was. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it alone is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? Just sharing that with you. It's always the gospel, and then signs and wonders accompany it. I think sometimes the church gets into the thing of just thinking about the signs and wonders. We just want to see the power and the signs and the wonders. We don't preach the gospel anymore. You can't do that. We can't do that. We can do that, but if you do that, you're going to get a church filled with a bunch of self-centered people that all they care about is the things of their own and their self. They're not going to repent of sin. They're not going to put their faith in Jesus. They're not going to get born again and filled with the Spirit of God. They're just coming because, just like Jesus, they did to Jesus. They just wanted the bread. They wanted the food. They wanted everything that Jesus had to offer them, except for repenting of their sins and putting their faith in Jesus. Always together. The whole package. We've got to give them the whole package. Amen? So what if they don't want to hear your words and they want to silence you? We have to keep honoring God. We have to keep honoring Jesus and doing what he told us to do. Amen? Keep honoring him with our conduct and our words. Though many may turn against us and our message, some of them will follow Jesus Christ. Again, Paul, Saul, he was so against everything that Stephen did, he was willing to just take the coats of those men that were stoning him for speaking. But what an impact that Stephen's message had upon the Apostle Paul eventually. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." Talk about someone in the presence of God, flowing in the Spirit, in the glory of God, being exactly like Jesus. Not only did he speak the same words that Jesus spoke to Caiaphas, but he's speaking the same words when Jesus was on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I mean, that is so supernatural that somebody would be sitting there getting stoned and getting ready to go be with the Lord and crying out, "Do not charge them with this sin." And when he said this, he fell asleep. We have to kind of have that same spirit as Stephen. They weren't going to shut Stephen up. There's only one way they're going to shut him up. Kill him. That's the only way they could shut him up. And they did. But we know that's not the only reason. We know God had a plan that persecution would come upon the church then, and because they were just kind of stuck in Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus said, Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth. Well, they were just kind of settled in Jerusalem now. So at this point, after Stephen is martyred, we know that Philip, and remember, this is Philip the table server, not Philip the apostle, takes off and goes to Samaria and begins to preach Christ to them. And we'll read some more about him the next time. But I just want to share this. This is something that the Holy Spirit gave me Friday night, and I hope I can share it. When we're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, that means we're being filled with the power and presence of God. Literally, God is coming to live in us. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, think of it this way. We're filled with the glory of God. Amen? Do you remember the two times in Kings when the temple was filled with the glory of God? There was one time in chapter 5 where they had brought all the furniture in to the new temple, the temple that Solomon built. They brought all the furniture in, and then they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, which represents what? The presence and the power of God. When they brought that Ark in, it says, then they all got together, and they all were singing songs. Let me read it. 2 Chronicles 5, verses 13 and 14. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. I'd never noticed that before reading this either. There's the importance of being as one, again, in harmony, unity. What we saw Friday night, was because of what this verse is teaching right here. When we worship together and praise God as one, the glory of God fills the place. That's what this verse is saying. Came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments and music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his mercy endures forever." That then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. It happened again in chapter 7. After Solomon was dedicating the temple, he prayed a big long prayer. Remember that? And then it wasn't a cloud that came this time. It was what? It said the fire came and set the altars on fire and consumed all the offerings that were in the place. But then it says again, what happened? Then they couldn't even go into the temple. They couldn't even go into the house because the glory of the God, of the Lord, filled the temple. So think with me, the priest, it said the priest. It always mentions the priest. So we have two things, the temple and the priests in the Old Testament. Well, why couldn't they stand, or why couldn't they stay in the house, go in the house and into the temple? You ever think about that? Because who was there in the Old Testament times, there was only one person that was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and that was only once a year. So the way hadn't been prepared for all of them to come into the glory of God and be in his presence and power all the time, right? But now, think New Testament with me. The temple of God. Temple of God's no longer a house. Who's the temple of God? Well, I'll read to you what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We got to really get that in our hearts and in our spirits. So now, because of what Jesus has done, we know in the book of Hebrews, what's it say? By the blood of Jesus, we can boldly enter into his presence. All of us who have accepted Jesus Christ and are filled with his Spirit, we can not only enter into his presence, but his presence lives in us. The priests. And he was always specifying the priests. Who are we in the New Testament? The priests. Listen to what Peter says. 1 Peter 2:5, talking about us. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So since we're the priests now and we are the temple of God, when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, this is the point I'm trying to make, the glory of the Lord fills us because we're the temple now. You ever think about it that way? I don't know if you ever thought about it that way. Because we think, we're reading Old Testament, so we're thinking Old Testament. Okay, well, the presence filled the church or the temple. But no, and we're the temple now. So when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, that means we're being filled with the glory of God. The same way that glory filled that house, it's now, this glory is now in us. Because his presence and power is now living in us. That's the same presence and power that they couldn't even go into because Jesus hadn't made a way for that to happen yet. But we know that he's made that way for us. And he lives in us. And so he fills us who are the temple and as the priests of God so that not only can we stand up and minister now in the presence and power of God, but we can be witnesses for Jesus. And no scheme, no man or scheme of the devil can ever shut us up from preaching the gospel to every living creature. Why? Because we're commissioned by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to be his witnesses to the end of the earth. His presence and power and his glory fills us. When Jesus said we would receive power from on high, that's what he was talking. That's the type of power he was talking about. To be his witnesses. And as you witness, the overflow of that flow is just, as you witness and share the gospel, from that overflow of what you're doing, taking that glory and power of God, that's when he confirms his word with signs and wonders and miracles. Let me read that 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14 from a different version, just so you can see how important it is, the oneness. And the reason I want to do this is because as we finish these worship songs, let's do it together as one, so that there's one sound going up to heaven. And just think of it this way, that we're rededicating. I don't know about you. Do you want your temple to be filled with the glory of God? Do you want to be the priests now that speak the word of God like never, with boldness like never before? So we're kind of rededicating our temples as we sing so that the Lord will fill us with his glory again so that we can go out and see others radically saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you and praise you. I'll read it again. Those who blew the trumpets and those who sang were like one person. I like that version. Those who blew the trumpets, those who play the guitar and sing were like one person. They made one sound when they praised and thanked the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. Father, fill us. We give our temples. We're asking you. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You live and dwell in us. Fill us with your glory, Lord. And anoint us afresh and anew as your priests so we can stand up and speak up for Jesus like never before in the history of the church and see a great harvest. Amen? Amen. God.